right, we are almost at the end, the very end of 1 Peter chapter 5. I teach line by line. I don't like to skip around. I like boxing myself in so that I have no choice but to tell you not what I think, but what God thinks. And we are in the last chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5. We did 5, 6, and 7 last week, and this week, should the Lord say the same, we will do 5, hopefully down to, oh, maybe 11. If you have your Bibles, even though I do put the scriptures on the screen, please open your Bibles so you can take notes. I encourage you to take notes. I'm a teaching pastor. I want us to learn this morning. Amen? 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verse 8 through 11, reads this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion. Whew. There's a lot of it there. Forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning from the sermon title, Standing Against the Enemy. Standing Against the Enemy. In life, there are things that we can clearly see in our world that are naturally, you know, they just make sense. They make good sense. Amen? Some things just make good sense. If you want to keep your job, you must actually go to work. Naturally, that just makes good sense. If you have kids and you don't want them to end up in jail, you need to raise your kids. Naturally, that just makes good sense. If you want to stay in your marriage, go home. That just naturally makes good sense. Here's an interesting one. To get in shape, you must exercise. Amen? Go to the gym. Work out. If you want to build muscle, you actually have to use the weights. That's just common sense. You have to lift the weights. Amen? We accept these things, come on, as truth. Not hard for us to understand these things. Amen? But when it comes to not just natural things, but spiritual things, we tend to think that things should just be automatic and convenient. Kind of like, you know, how we are now. We turn on a TV. We could walk to the TV and turn it on, like we used to do back in the day. Some of y'all young folks don't even understand anything about that. But now we just sit back on our couch and we press the remote. And voila! The TV just turns on. For some of us, I don't watch TV, but for some of us, we have a million channels now. Could you imagine trying to go through all the channels, trying to find your specific channel without the remote? Amen? Somehow we think that it's better and more, suitable to us that, spiritually things should be easy, convenient. Somewhere in our mindset, we've come up with this idea that if it's easy, it's right. If it's convenient, that must be of God. Amen? To cook our food nowadays, some of us don't even cook. We just put things in the microwave. We don't cook our food. No, we don't need pots and pans and skillets. What's that? If I want to have dinner, I go get a TV dinner to go along with my TV remote. Why? Because things have to be convenient. So spiritually, if it's too hard, then something's wrong. Right? Somehow we think that moving from the natural to supernatural, there's this mentality that says that there should be nothing that we have to do. Nothing new that we must learn. Nothing that we must struggle against. Huh? Somehow being born again has morphed into being born spiritually mature, born adult. Amen? God should just be able to snap his fingers and we should have everything working for us. I shouldn't have to go through anything. I mean, after all, I'm on God's side now. What is all this that I'm dealing with? What's the point? I thought that when I got saved that things would just line up perfectly. No struggle. Nothing. Last week, we went over these verses. Give me 1 Peter 5 and 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't have time to go through everything about it, but let me just give you a snapshot. And if you want to listen to the CD, and I think you should, we have it for you. But last Sunday we learned about submission and humility and how in human relationships, being humble can actually build the relationship more than fighting for your rights. Amen. I want my way and you want your way and both of us sitting there getting nowhere because we're too busy fighting each other. Nobody's humbling themselves and bringing in humility, which would cause us to actually work together. So submission and authority actually builds relationships. Amen. Husbands and wives. I told you, if you're sitting there duking it out all the time with your wife, then nothing's happening. We're not getting anywhere. Somebody's going to have to submit. Somebody's going to have to be humble. Hopefully both of you. Amen? So submission and humility in relationships actually causes things to meld together. People can have better relationships when we actually submit. Amen? When we are actually humble. Then there was this other part that we talked about where it says, verse 6, humble yourselves before or therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The other point was humbling yourself before God. How the mighty hand of God will sometimes allow us to go through things that are uncomfortable. Woo-hoo. But that same hand, as it says here, will exalt you in due time. That same mighty hand is the one that is able to lift you up. So here it is, saints. We must be careful to have the attitude of humility, not just in our relationships, but especially in our relationship with God. We must be humble before God Because he's only allowing what will be good for us. God cannot do evil. God can only be good. He couldn't be evil if he tried. Amen? He will only do for his children what is good. Amen? God will only do what's good for us, but he may not do what's preferred by us. Amen? Here's the truth, saints, and some ain'ts. The truth is, life for the Christian is not that easy. Anybody a witness to that? So God says, it's in our best interest to be spiritually fit. To be strong. Amen? And if, but more than likely, when you enter into a season where God has you lifting weights to build spiritual or gain spiritual muscle, then the right attitude is to humble yourself before him and to submit to whatever God decides, which is not what we naturally would normally do. Amen? This submission and humility before God is actually the very smartest and most wisest thing that you can do. While under pressure from tests and trials, what's happening with my life? Why is this going on? I don't understand what's happening. God, why are you allowing this? It's not wise to, at that point in time, develop an attitude problem with God. Humility and submission and trusting God through trials is better for no reason. If no reason, better than this. Hear me. We have a cunning, strategic, relentless, and extremely subtle and aggressive enemy. Are you hearing me? The devil is looking for those who are isolated from God due to thinking that God is somehow being unfair. God is neglecting me. God doesn't care what I'm going through. If God is so good, then why is he allowing this? The enemy is looking for people who are fed up with God because they are now uncomfortable. We must remain humble under his mighty hand. If for no other reason that the devil is counting on us and banking on the possibility that we will get out of step with God. He's hoping you slip up. Are you hearing me this morning? Mm-hmm. Newsflash, people. Some of the things that we are going through is not just because life is difficult. Some of the things we're going through is not just because of common life circumstances. Some of it is because you are actually under attack. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a, underline this, roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There's a whole lot there. Let's back up. Be sober. Not so much don't get drunk. It's not really what it's saying here. Even though you don't make good decisions if you're high and out of your mind, you're not going to be like, well, I think I need to go read some more Bible. That's probably not what you're going to do. What I'm saying here, be sober, be vigilant. Sober here means something rather interesting. Be calm. I want you to hear me. And collected in your own spirit. Interesting. Stay calm. Don't lose your mind. Don't flip out. Don't trip. Amen. Be sober. Be calm in your spirit. Be vigilant. That means give strict attention to a certain thing. Be very, very cautious. Why? Because your adversary, your opponent, your enemy, your devil, who is not your buddy. Some of us are running with him, and he does not like you. Some of us are too comfortable with the things of the enemy. The devil, who is your adversary, is as a roaring lion looking to devour people. And I explained to you, saints, a while back, that the devil does not eat and chew on arms and limbs. The devil eats faith. He's after your belief. That's what he wants. Amen? I looked up a roaring lion, and just in the natural, like, why would this term be used? What does it mean when the lion roars? What's that about? What's the significance of that? I don't want to skip over that. I had to look it up. And what do lions do? What's the purpose that they roar for? Why do they do that? Well, I learned something rather interesting. Lions roar to tell other lions where they are. I'm over here. Roar! Over here. Okay? They also do it to show other lions or competitors how big they are. In other words, don't you come up in here. It's going to be all bad. Okay? But it's really about one thing in particular. The roar, saints of God, is used to take claim over territory. Ooh. The lion boasts to others that everything under the sound of my roar belongs to me. Oh. The devil is described as a roaring lion. Hey. Everything under my roar, he's saying, is mine. It's about territory. So whoever you are mostly listening to is whoever runs you. Oh, let that sink in, people. Whoever you're listening to the most, that's who's owning you. That's who is dictating your life. That's who's moving you around left to right. That's who's got you. Amen? Amen? Whatever you're listening to the most, or whoever you're listening to the most, you're in their territory. Amen? Then something interesting it says is the lion normally gets up and does his roar early in the morning, every morning. Starts out his day. It says, by the way, before you go to work, I want you to know all y'all belong to me. That's just how the enemy is. That's what the enemy does. What are you saying, Pastor? The devil here is described as a sound. Ooh. The devil is cunning. He's tricky. He's not going to show up in a devil suit with a pitchfork and a tail and go, hey, by the way, I'm running your life. Sorry, I didn't send you the email earlier, but I got you. You belong to me. He doesn't do that. No. He's more subtle than that. The enemy has a sound. The voice of the enemy speaks what? Lies. He's called the father of lies. The devil never tells the whole truth. Amen? He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to bring you into agreement, look up here, with his version of the truth. He wants to bring you into disagreement with God. Amen? He wants you to agree with what he says and disagree with what God has always been saying. Okay? Remember, he did this with Eve. Way back in the garden. You will not surely die, girl. Girl, is that what God told you? No, girl. You ain't gonna die. Where's Eve right now? Dead. Let that sink in. Here's the thing, saints. Eve knew what God was saying. Eve knew. But what Satan did is he presented a picture of dissatisfaction to her. He suggested that what God had given her was not enough. Oh, that Eve, you're missing out on something, girl. I got something better. God is holding out on you. God's not being fair. Pretty soon, she began to believe what the enemy was saying more than what God was saying. Amen? More than what he had already said. Some of us are so distant or too distant from God in order to hear anything he's saying because we've become accustomed to the roars of the enemy. We're used to the wrong sound. We don't even know what God has said. We're too used to the system, the world, getting caught up in everything that everybody else is doing. Huh? And then we wonder why we're frustrated, wonder why things are not working out, wonder why there's no peace, wonder why there's no joy, wonder why I can't get through something. Where is God in all this? Well, you haven't been listening to me. You've been listening to the roar. Woo-hoo. The roar is a sound of defeat. The roar is a sound of self-pity. The roar is a sound that God has forgotten about me. That God doesn't love me. These roaring sounds are lies from the enemy that he uses us to give us the wrong perspective on what God has already promised in his word. The roar is distractions away from what the truth is. I am not defeated. I am victorious. Even though I'm going through something right now, I'm talking about me. But I have to be careful not to listen to the roar of that old lion. He never tells the truth. He distracts you. Keeps you preoccupied. You're listening. That's good. I see people listening. That's good. He wants to give you the wrong perspective on God. In order to tune the devil out, you have to listen and tune in to God. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in his sound. And his sound will lead to destruction. His sound will lead to doubt. You hear God by reminding yourself of the promises already written in his word. How many people have a Bible? How many people read the Bible? How many people, if you were to go up to the Bible and pat it, you might have an allergy attack? Because there's so much dust. It gets all in your throat and you can't even talk to people. What thus saith the Lord? I don't know. You hear God's promises by getting into his word. You remind yourself of the truth of God by hearing the word. You read the word. You study the word. You dig in the word. Or you will become a victim of the doctrines and the heresies and lies of Satan. He is the one who primarily comes and tells you what God said is not true. His whole scheme is doubt. It's the opposite of faith.
God says if I do it this way, I'm going to be victorious. Well, how's that working out for you, lady? Are you sure God is right about this? Why don't you try it my way? It's easier. Just press the remote. See? The doctrine of doubt comes to us early in the morning. For me, it's Facebook. My CNN app. I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in years. But I got this demonic phone. Where's it at? How about you? Some of you guys don't watch TV like me, but that phone is like, woo! Whoa! I'm on that phone, boy. It never just be, you hear me? What would happen if we turned off Newsweek for a week or two? If we cut off cable for a week or two? If we turned off social media for a week or two? What would happen if we quit looking at all the celebrities that have popped up to make me jealous? Woo! Saying, God obviously isn't doing enough for me. Look at them. I want to be like Daisy. Where's my Beyonce? Make you jealous? God isn't doing enough for you. You get used to hearing all these things instead of hearing the word of God. And before you know it, you're caught up in the roar, the sound. And you can't even tell when you're being lied to. You don't even know how good God is. So, get into the word so you can be more grateful. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else. Quit looking at your neighbor. Huh? Realize that God has blessed you right where you are. Even though you're going through tough times, with your tough time going through self, you're blessed. Get a praise on your lips. Give God some glory. The more you bless God, the more you drown out the roar of the devil. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I can't hear you, devil. Too busy thanking God. Got to tune out to tune in. He's a roaring lion. He says, verse 9, it says this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? That word resist means to oppose, to refuse to comply with, to not get into or get involved in or get caught up in a person's view or a systematic view, or to step out of the system. You oppose by stepping out of the system, and then it says, be steadfast. Steadfast. Is that what it says? Yeah, resist. Steadfast in the faith. That's good. Unmovable. I'm not going to move. Steadfast in the faith. I'm standing on the word of God. Steadfast in the truth. You use the truth to contradict or to come against the devil's lies. It is the conviction, the faith, that God is in control, that God is the ruler of all things. Amen? That nothing can overpower God. Sometimes when things get hard, there's a temptation to go back and pick up some old school people. Well, somebody said, well, and she's over here. To do some old school self-care. I was going through and I'm hurting, and I don't know what God is doing. So I check in on some folks. I was just calling to see if you're all right. Remember how we used to do that's thus and so and this and that. I know I shouldn't be calling you, but he was just on my heart. You okay? How you doing? How's your mama doing? How's everybody doing? What you into right now? What you doing? You alright? I'm just checking on you. When we go through, sometimes we feel the temptation. Huh? To go back to the very things that God delivered us from. Woohoo! Dibbling, dabbling in sin because I don't like the test that I'm going through. I want to cope with this thing a little bit. I don't want to turn to Jesus. I just want to feel good for a little bit today. I'm tired, Lord. So I'm going to call Jack. In Vera. No, the Word of God says resist the devil. Amen? Resist him. Oppose him. Be unmovable. Steadfast in the faith. I know it's true. I'm not going back to that mess. I'm not doing that again. I know that's a trick of the enemy. Amen? Be steadfast, unmovable in the faith, knowing, I mean certain of the truth that you're standing in. Here's the other part. That the afflictions, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are all around the world. Those of us who are saved, realize this. You're not the only one going through something. Woo! It's not just you. Well, why did I come down with this situation? Why did the doctor give me that report? Why are my children acting like this? It seems like everybody else is doing okay. Why me? Why am I dealing with this? You're not the only one going through. Be grateful to God that he's not allowing you to go through what everybody else is going through. Oh, somebody needs to hear that. Be grateful and thankful to God that their shoes don't fit on you. Be grateful and thankful to God that he's got a personal situation designed for you. He's going to let you go through what you're going to go through. And don't compare yourself to somebody else. Be grateful to God. You ought to thank God that some of the other things that people have gone through that have taken them out have never come to you. You ought to be grateful. They didn't make it. Somehow you did. They lost their mind. Somehow you didn't lose yours. You ought to be grateful to God. I'm not the only one dealing with something. The truth of the matter is this, saints. There are times when the devil can attack you and he will be allowed to attack. He will be allowed to attack your marriage, your family, your church, your friendships, your job, your car. He will use your mother-in-law. He will. But we can't slip into this thing to where nobody's dealing with anything but me. Because that produces the bad attitude that Satan is looking for. Are you hearing me? He's just waiting to pounce on somebody who's doubting God. All right? When you're in trouble and you're fighting, sometimes this thought will come to you. And it's not of you. But sometimes you'll say, especially for those of us who are believers, we'll say, well, maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe I'm going through because God doesn't like me. And if you're not careful, the roar will come up and say, you're right, he doesn't. It's not true. It's not the truth. For those of us who believe in God, that is not true. You may feel, you can't go with everything you feel. You're going to have to, you can't stand on feelings. You can stand on truth. Amen? Amen. Remember this, saints. If you are saved, the devil has you on his hit list. Right along with every other Christian. So don't think it's just happening to you. If you're not saved, you're not on his hit list because he already has you. You're the least of his problem. You're already dancing at his party right in front of his DJ. He's not tripping on you. But if you are saved, he hates you. You remind him of somebody that defeated him. Amen? Sidebar. Talking about this section here, the same afflictions are compassing your brethren that are in the world. If we as believers know that we are all in this together and we're going through, then sitting and soaking in what we're dealing with is not mature. We must consider the pain of someone else, not just ours. Amen? The enemy would love nothing better for you to sit there and trip off of everything that you're dealing with and not be open to talking to someone else or encouraging someone else or being there for someone else. We're all in this fight together, believers. We have to support each other. We got to come out of whatever we're feeling and say, you know what? I'm going through, but I'm going to take my mind off my own business for 2 seconds and stop giving myself a headache and pray for somebody else. My auntie, Dr. Reams, used to tell me all the time, she used to say, you know, the best way to give yourself a headache is to think about you too much. Pray for somebody else. Amen? All right. Now, we will get attacked, and we will take some hits, but here's the point, saints. God uses these hits to make us stronger. I want to say something to you that may not seem practical. But God never wastes one tear. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter how painful it is, God sees everything that you're dealing with. He sees everything that's hurting you, and he does not waste one tear. He uses it. This is our hope. In the midst of whatever we are going through, God can give us a glimpse into what he's really up to. What is this all about, God? If I keep my mind on the absolute certainty that after everything I'm dealing with, I'm still going to be victorious. Oh, nobody got that. And if I keep my mind on after everything I'm dealing with, I'm going to be better because of it. Then I can actually do something that will confuse the enemy. I can have joy in the middle of what I'm dealing with. I could have a smile on my face even though I'm going through hell. I could have a pep in my step just because I know that God's going to break me through. I could shout for joy in the middle of my sorrow. I could give God praise in my pain. Are you hearing me, saints? But I got to keep my mind on what's true, not on what I feel, and stop listening to that old roar. Are you hearing me, saints? But the God, verse 10, of all grace, the one who gives us the power to resist, the one who gives us the ability to have the right perception on what God is doing. The God of all grace, who graces us with the ability to fight by standing in truth, who hath called us into his eternal glory. What does that mean? The one who gives us the power to stand against our enemy also called us into his eternal glory. He called me out of my darkness. He called me into his marvelous light. I was sinking in my sin. I'm talking about Pastor Jamie. I was dying in my sin, caught up in the system, addicted to all kinds of things that I didn't even know I was addicted to. Thought I was better than I actually was. Thought I was doing okay because I'm just not as bad as so-and-so. Not realizing that I'm trapped up in the enemy's roar and his lies. Huh? The God who called me out of my sin. Huh? And called me into his eternal glory. Those are his heavenly promises that are certain to come. Amen? By Jesus Christ. The one who called me out of my sin into his promises by Jesus Christ. That means the one who gave me the promises officially is the one who paid for those promises. By Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Jesus Christ died for my sins. I could never earn God's approval. I could never do right on my own. My track record is already messed up. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. And Jesus Christ took care of it. Woo! Jesus already paid for it. The salvation is by Jesus Christ. The salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's through grace alone. I cannot earn salvation. The law condemns me. The only one who can set me free is the one who never broke his law. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not Allah, he dead, didn't get up. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, dead, didn't get up. None of them. Not Confucius, dead, I don't even know who he was. Didn't get up. Only Jesus Christ got up with all power in his hand, rose from the grave, and said, now everything belongs to me. And if you get under my sound, if you get under my voice, if you hear me, not only will you be saved from hell, but you'll be set free from yourself. Because you are the common denominator of all your problems. My track record is far from perfect. And we have peace with God only because of Jesus Christ. Huh? We have peace with God because God has graced us into favor. He's grafted us into his heavenly family by us placing faith in his one and only begotten Son. There is no other way. All have sinned and fallen short against from the glory of God. Huh? We need to put our trust and our total faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He already paid for it. The question is, do you have your receipt? Do you believe? Do you trust him? The same God who has grafted us into his presence, where there's only peace and exceeding joy. Joy on top of joy, on top of joy. I told you before, in heaven, you won't be able to frown. In heaven, you won't be able to have a bad day. It's impossible. You can't stay as happy as you were 10 seconds ago. Your happiness and your joy just keeps getting better and better. 5 minutes ago, it's just like, whoa! We don't even know nothing about that. We try to get happy at everything else. And it just goes, kind of like a Mercedes right after you buy it. Depreciate. Just be. But the joy of the Lord is exceeding. It's exceeding. Huh? Exceeding joy. Huh? That presence, that same God who has grafted us into this presence, huh? Will not only, according to verse 10, give us peace in heaven, but he will train us to have peace on earth. Uh-huh. So not just peace in heaven. He will train us in spite of what you're going through to have peace right here. Ooh. Peace down here while I'm dealing with all these things. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Huh? But not before we go through some things. After that, ye have suffered a while. Oh, interesting. The God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while. Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Perfecting you. Making you fit. Establishing you. After you go through some things. It's not about the microwave or the remote. It's not about convenience, people. Huh? It's about making sure that you're strong. Make you stable in your mind, opposed to being unstable depending on whatever happens this week. Woo-hoo. Everything doesn't suddenly rock you like it used to, because God is giving you stability. He's establishing you. He's settling. He's strengthening you. He's making you strong. That settling is like the firm foundation that the house is set on, because it's set on a rock. It's set on eternal promises and not all these temporary things that, I don't know if you noticed, don't last. I get rocked depending on what happened. Little bad news here, little bad news there. Oh! Suddenly my house is slipping into the lake. Why? Because I spent a lifetime trying to avoid every test that God took me through. Lord, don't let me go through this. Don't let me. Oh, Lord, don't let me. Oh, Lord, not that. Not to anything but that, Lord. And God is saying, yeah, but that's what's going to cause you to be strong. Are you hearing me, saints? Huh? Huh? Come on. While I'm going through being strengthened, being perfected, being settled, huh? Being established, huh? While I'm going through, I learn how not to lean on my own understanding. While I'm going through, I learn how to exercise what it feels like not to just say I trust God, but to actually trust in God. Huh? I learned that when I am weak, He is strong. Huh? I learned that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, huh? Delivers us out of them all. Now, this last part and I'm done. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. How do we stay? How do we stand against the enemy, Jamie? You let us know he's there. You let us know we need to have the right attitude. We need to trust God. We don't need to get bent out of shape. We understand all that. But Pastor Jamie, how do we actually stand? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself or exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. To the obedience of Christ. We don't have a physical weapon. There's a spiritual weapon that we have. And what does it do? It pulls down the strongholds, the things that are holding us, keeping us from trusting God, keeping us from doing things His way. Huh? It keeps us from walking in the way that God wants us to walk. Huh? Casting down imaginations, the things that we thought, well, God must be okay with this, I think he is. Casting down imagination, these arguments that we bring up that says that we can do things in a certain way that God has clearly said in His Word that we shouldn't. Huh? Bringing down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the truth. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. When God is telling you, you can make it, just hang in there, don't give up. And here come those other thoughts. You capture those thoughts and say, no. That's not what God said. That's not the truth. That's the lie. That's the roar. Bring it into captivity. False beliefs. Things that we think are godly. They sound like God, but we didn't check the truth to find out if they came from God. All that mystical stuff. You can't be a witch for Jesus. You can't do it. Sorry. What is this? This is the offense. The offense is not carnal. It's a weapon. But it's not fleshly. You can't pull out a Glock 9 and pop a cap in the devil. That doesn't work. What are you saying, Pastor? Because we are underneath the roar. We are constantly bombarded by the roaring lies of the devil. It's important that we have a consistent dose of daily truth. Did you hear what I said? Taking in the truth keeps you away from the lie. You will live the lie without the truth. You won't even know it. Amen? But you don't fight Satan directly. For all of us who came out of the Pentecostal Holiness Church, and I love God's people, but some of that stuff that they taught us was not right. I'm about to hurt some people. I love you. That's my disclaimer. That's all you're getting. You don't fight Satan directly. But you do fight him indirectly. You never bind the devil. I bind you, Satan. No, you don't. I loose this and I bind. You can't even tell me if the sun's going to come up tomorrow. You don't have that. No. I put you in check. No. You fight Satan. You fight your enemy. By filling yourself with the truth. It's simple. Amen? You don't have the power to bind the devil. If you did, and you bound him last week, how did you get loose again? I'm gonna bind you! How did he get out? Here he is again this week. I thought you bound him. How does the devil keep getting loose if you got him, if you bound him up last year? I don't get it. You ever thought about that, huh? I bind you, devil. And he's like, whatever. Let me say something to you. Satan is not scared. He's not afraid of human beings. You need to recognize that. Okay? Matthew 16, 19, don't turn to it, trust me, it's there. Binding, loosing, there is mentioned, it is talked about how the already open doors of heaven are for those who believe in the gospel. And the devil, and the doors are shut. Binding, loosing, closing the doors to those who do not respond to the gospel. Who do not respond to who Jesus is. How did you know that? Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. And then Jesus goes on and says, you know what? And if you lose something and you bind something, he's not talking about tying up the devil. He's talking about something that's already been set in heaven. And Peter's just agreeing with something that's already been done. Not that he had the power to change it. All right? One more thing. It's not new power given to human beings to override God in all their situation and stop God from having you go through something. I bind this situation. No. That's not it. I see some of the look on your faces. Also, Matthew 18, 18. It has to do with binding and loosing is mentioned there. It has to do with church discipline. When you go to a certain member and they don't do what they're supposed to do, they don't come out of sin. Amen? And God is saying, Jesus is telling his team there. He's saying, listen, what you loose in heaven, you know, will be loosened. What you bind will be bound. He's not talking about binding the devil. That's not there. He's talking about dealing with church discipline. And how, listen, if that person is not doing what's right, then all heaven is backing you up. If that person is doing what's right, then all heaven is backing you up. These are things that are already set in place. Okay? It has nothing to do with Christians overriding anything. Wake up! Because if you bound him last week, you get it. So it must be something else. If it's not that, I love busting myths. Churchmyths.com. You're wasting your time talking to the devil. Don't point your finger at him. He's not listening to you. He's not tripping on you. He's not intimidated by you. Good. Some of y'all think. Jesus said in Mark 3 that he binds the strong man. Read your Bible. Don't just go with what some preacher said. Jesus said he binds a strong man and takes his good. He never said that we do it. Nice and quiet. Good. Tell him I said it. All right? We are not superheroes walking around with magical spiritual ropes to tie up Satan. That's not what we do. When Jesus himself was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, you never hear Jesus say, "Satan, I bind you." He never did that. You don't see him saying, "I'm going to tie you up if you don't shut up." That's not what Jesus did. You see Jesus resisting Satan. Huh? He just spoke the word. He stood on the word. He stood on the truth. And Satan said, "I can't take that. I got to go. I'll come back later when you forget what you just told me." So, how do we do it? You ready? Ephesians 6, 10, 1 through 18. 10 through 18, let's go. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, real quick. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Why? "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rule of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with" what? "Truth." There it is. You want to defeat the enemy? Don't bind him. He's coming back next week. But when he gets there, have your stuff tied up. Yes. Get your game tight. Yes. Stay in the truth. Yes. Huh? It's the idea of not walking around thinking you're going to play football with a dress on. Oh, and you just flop. No, that's not an effective way to score a touchdown.
No, it's not.
What you got to do is you got to tie your stuff up. Keep the things tight. Otherwise, they're going to grab you by your dress and throw you to the ground. It's keeping your stuff tight. It's staying in the truth. Huh? Your loins girt about in truth. You battle the lies with the truth. If you're going to bind and type anything, type your own thoughts. Oh. Yeah, right there. That ain't of God. That ain't of God. What's it say? Okay, I need to start thinking on these things. That's what the truth is. That's the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Are you seeing that? That's living the truth. Don't carry around the sword and fling it around at the devil like you're going to hell or something. You ain't going to live holy. You're wide open for attack. You know scripture, but you don't do any of them. The devil's like, "Up! We got somebody dressed up like a Christian. They got it in a uniform, but they're not living it. It's a soldier with no ammunition and no shield, no body armor. I'm going to take them out. They think they can play with me. I chewed up the last Christian like that." Are you hearing me? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Holy living. Live holy before God. If it's not right, don't do it. If you don't have the power to do it, pray and ask God to help you. Get around some people who are living it. Huh? Get away from them friends that are sending you back to where you used to be. Get around God. Get in that word. Ask God, Lord, I need you to help me to hate what you hate and love what you love. I can't do it on my own. I try. I need your help. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remind yourself of the gospel that you and God are on good terms if you're saved. I have peace with God right now. Devil, you can't lie to me. But don't talk to him. Just caught myself. Huh? I know that God is for me. I know that he's taking care of me. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Huh? What? Where will you just be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked? God can do anything. He's all powerful. He's going to protect me if I stay in his word. Huh? I missed something? No. All right. Thank you, baby. All right. And the helmet of salvation. I'm saved and I know it. I'm assured of my salvation. I know God is allowing me to go through some things, but that's not going to shake me. He's just making me. Huh? Are you hearing me, saints? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God, as it says. Stay in the word. Uh-huh. Stay in the word. Battle the enemy's lies with the truth. Uh-huh. So much so that the enemy's going to think twice about coming at you. Why? Because that's an armored up Christian. They walk in it. They talk in it. They believe it. They practice it. They stay in it. I got to come up with a really good lie to get them. Got to be extremely subtle. Because they're probably going to catch it and know it's me. But if you don't know your word, if you don't have on your shield, you don't carry your sword, then you're wide open. And he will lie to you all day. And you'll, guess what? You'll live it. All right. Then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Don't get caught slipping. Stay sober. Stay alert. The enemy does not take a day off. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the reality of where you are. Amen? The suffering of God that God allows is not meant to destroy you, but it's actually meant to make you stronger. The devil will come up with another game plan to try to distract you, but it won't work because you know the truth. You will know that God loves you. You will know that God is for you. You would know that if God is allowing me to go through some situations, if I have some bad things happen, because I'm connected to God, it only makes me stronger. Listen, if you're going to be an overcomer, you're going to overcome something. You don't get to put the bumper sticker on your car and go about your day. It's because you actually overcome something. All right, I'm almost done. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. This is tough. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. I'm going to say this very simply. One of the reasons why we deal with so many things from the enemy, and it seems like there's just a constant battle, some of it is because the enemy really, really hates you. Some of it is because we're in his territory. We're easy targets. Because our mind is on everything but God. It's on the affairs of this world. And in that territory, the enemy can just pick you off easily because your mind's not on God. Your mind's on everything you want God to do, but not how much you love God. God, if you could come through for me in this situation, then you leave him in the dust whenever you get it. And then here come the devil and you find out you ain't strong enough to battle. Huh? And then God has to allow some things to happen so you can start praying again. Huh? Oh, there you are. Remember me? I'm God. You left me on 8th Street. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Looking for you to respond to me. Looking for you to come to me.
Yeah.
But if our minds are on the wrong things, then the enemy can catch us up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you these things because some of us have our minds on everything but God.
Yeah.
We're suffering because we're in his territory. Huh? The idea is to get out of the roar's distance. Not to be surrounded by it and fully submerged in it. Okay? Come away from those things that God hates. Think on holy things. Think on things that are eternal. Things that are lasting. God, I want you to bless me with this and bless me with that. And then you get it and you're still unhappy. God, if, you know, I hope he asks me to marry him. And then you get married and now you're trying to get rid of him. God, if you can get me out of this, I thought that's what you wanted. Are you hearing me? Mind on worldly things. Back to 1 Peter 5, last verse. Here we go. To him, to God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Real simply, to God be dominion, power over everything, everyone, every situation that you could possibly go through. Strength, power, absolute authority. To God be dominion, glory and dominion. He has the power. No one is stronger than him. No one can defeat him. Forever and ever. Okay? God is in total control no matter what you're dealing with. God is in total control and nobody can stop him. He will get his glory. He's already figured out what's going to happen in the end. He's not making it up as he goes. He already knows. No one can stop him. Choose wisely which side you're going to be on. There's only one winning side.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Dominion and power. Amen. Selah. Huh? Settle that. So be it. Settle that in your mind. That way, when you're going through, you can stay calm. You can be sober. You can allow God to strengthen, to settle, to establish, to perfect you without losing your mind. The situation that you're going through is allowed by God to build you, to cause you to trust God even more. I would never know how good God is if he did not take me through something bad. In my mountaintop experiences, when I was in the record business and everything was going my way and I had all that money and all those contracts, I wasn't looking for God. But the moment all that stuff dried up, I said, oh, where is God? You see it? And God allowed me to get this close and say, I got something better. What's better than this, God? Because this is what my dream is. This is what I want. Me. Me. Amen? I'm done. Yeah.